Good morning, everyone. Eric's not here to give you the cue to be silent, so I need to just get your attention. He is not here today. He had two vaccine shots on Friday, one for the flu and his second shingles shot, and they did not agree with him all that well, and he's a little under the weather. So, but he did record the sermon, so I'm not preaching this morning. So if you would just keep him in your prayers, that would be very much appreciated. Based on the weather, I do not think we're doing leaf breaking today. So it'll to be determined when that will happen, and you will be advised of that. If you look at the flyer that's in your, the insert that's in your bulletin, there is a note about Thanksgiving Sunday, which we are going to make note of next week. And what we're asking you to do is bring examples of what you might be thankful for. A picture of your family, a toy tractor to be thankful for the harvest or for food, car keys to show your thankfulness to God for blessings, maybe even a cell phone, because that's how you communicate to family and friends. If you don't want to bring something, feel free to write a note about what it is you're thankful for in your life that God has blessed you with. And there'll be a table up front next week for you to place those blessing items on the table. Christmas decorating is next Sunday afternoon. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board, and there are a few more people that would, if you could volunteer, that would make it a lot easier for those that are participating in that. There will be a senior citizens dinner on Thursday this week. They're having turkey. You do not need to sign up. You just need to show up and eat and have a good fellowship. Missy Warnke will be coming up now to talk about the alternative gift market, which you may have seen in the hallway. And just as a reminder, the congregational meeting will follow this 10:30 service this morning.
Good morning. Well, it does look a little bit more like Christmas than it does did at 8 o'clock this morning. Do you have people in your Christmas shopping list that don't really need any things at all? Do you want to honor a loved one with a unique gift? Well, the St. John's Mission Committee has the perfect opportunity for you. Today, we are launching our first annual alternative gift market. The gift market is a way for St. John's to donate to Crossroads Child and Family Services, and in turn, these funds will then enable Crossroads to purchase Christmas gifts for the children who reside there. No donation is too small. A donation of $10 can be used to purchase items like crossword puzzles and adult coloring books. Larger donations might go towards portable DVD players and noise-canceling headphones. If you prefer, you can also include your donations in your offering envelopes. Just mark on your envelope Alternative Gift Market, or AGM. We are asking for monetary donations only so that Crossroads can purchase the gifts that they would be most beneficial for their residents. They do have some restrictions on the kinds of things that they want their kids to access. So when you stop at the gift market table, there's donation slips available for you to complete, a donation for a box for you to put your donation in, and honoree cards so that you can let a loved one know that a gift has been donated in their honor. There are also some pamphlets from Crossroads. If you want to share that with your honoree, you can stick it in the envelope. After the service, I'll be at the table to help with questions. The alternative gift market table will be open through the end of November. So if you want to avoid traffic, you can come during the week. The table will be set up. There is a secure box for donations, and Jocelyn has assured me that she will check on this periodically. Please consider giving a gift that gives twice and celebrate the spirit of Christmas with a donation to Crossroads Child and Family Services. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Our opening scripture this morning is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It can be found on page 1204 of the Pew Bible. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we ask you this morning to come and sit right next to us as we worship. Help us to think, love, and live through you. Help us to be a channel for your love, your joy, and your peace, that those who come in contact, those that we come in contact with, might see you through us. Amen. If you are able, I invite you to rise and join me in the call to worship. Almighty and everlasting God, in your Son, Jesus Christ,
you which bring us all that we need,
bread from heaven and bread from earth,
which is your life to the world,
grant us one more thing.
Grateful hearts to sing your praise.
In this world and the world to come. Amen.
Our opening hymn this morning, our hymn of praise, is number 64, All Creatures of Our God and King. Number 64.
There's a prayer of intercession printed in your bulletin, and I'm going to give you time to read through that in silence, and then we will finish with the Lord's Prayer at my prompting. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
The hymn response can be found on your bulletin insert called Give Thanks.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 to 22, and then also from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 24. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hand. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that is why I command you to do this. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. God blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word.
Children, wherever you are, would you come down this morning, please? Oh, yeah, great. And kind of sit in the middle so I can kind of see all your faces, if you would.
I'm really fast like a cheetah.
You were fast. Cheetah is one of the fastest animals that there are. Did you know that? Yes. Oh, she changed her mind. Maybe not. Dad's going to come with her. Okay, perfect. Good morning. I'm going to tell you a children's sermon that I did a little over 7 years ago. And I'm going to tell it to you again because I think it goes with our scripture today. Our scripture comes from Deuteronomy, and it says that God provides for the widow, the orphans, and And I'm also going to tell you the children's sermon because I kind of like it. It's a story about me, so that's a pretty good thing. When I was a kid, my brothers and sister and I, we would like to watch big time wrestling on TV. Now, this wasn't the wrestling like Olympic wrestling, and this wasn't the wrestling that Pastor Eric talks about sometimes when he was wrestling in college. This was big time wrestling, which meant no holds barred. And what that means is you can do about anything you want out there in that wrestling match. And before the match started, they would introduce all the wrestlers. And they would come out, and some of them would have these weird hairdos. And some of them would have their faces all painted up to look scary. And some of them would wear these colorful outfits. And sometimes they would look at the person they were going to wrestle, and they'd try to scare them. They'd say, I am your worst nightmare. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But we had one favorite wrestler, and his name was Rufus. And Rufus didn't have any of that stuff. But he had two things going for him. He had this wonderful smile, and he had this great big belly. So when some wide-eyed creature had our Rufus, our hero, down on the mat, and Rufus was struggling because his shoulder was just about to hit the mat, and they were going to maybe pin him, Rufus would look up at the camera, and he would smile this wonderful smile. And then his belly would start to rumble and ripple and move. And all of a sudden, his opponent who was on top of him would be violently thrown off of his belly. And we would jump up and down and yell and cheer for Rufus. And he would look into that camera just like he could hear us. And he would smile. And then he would jump up, and he would land in a thud on his opponent, and the referee would say, 1, 2, 3, pinned! And our hero would once again be the winner. Now, a few years later,
He was the winner. That's why he was my hero.
Now, a few years later, though, I found out that big-time wrestling was a fake. It really wasn't real. Do you know they practiced before they went out there, and they knew who the winner was going to be before they even left their dressing rooms? But I learned something really important through big-time wrestling. Mostly, I learned through their tag-team wrestling. Now, tag-team means you had two or three people, wrestlers who were on the same team, and let's say your opponent got you down on the mat, and they had your shoulder there, and you were soon ready to be pinned. And if that wrestler who was going to be pinned reached his hand out to the edge of the mat, and one of his team members could tap it, that team member could leap into the ring and take his place and save him. Well, we had our own wrestling mat at home. It was called the living room carpet. And my dad would get down on his hands and knees, and my sister, who was the oldest in the family, she would jump in, and they would wrestle, and they would tussle back and forth. Well, my dad was big, and he was strong. So she didn't have a chance. So she would reach her hand up, and I'd tap her hand, and I would jump into the ring with her, and together we would wrestle my dad, and he would be laying on his back, and my little brother would yell, ping, and we were the winners. Now, that was about as fake as big-time wrestling, but we had a good time doing it.
On what month did you wrestle?
On
what? Rug? No, month.
What month? Any month we felt like it. December.
January.
We did. December and January is when we did most of our wrestling. Now, sometimes in life, things happen in our lives that we don't have any control over. Things just happen. And sometimes we feel overpowered, and we feel overwhelmed, and we feel helpless, and we feel like our shoulders are nearing the mat, and we're about to be pinned. And we don't know what to do. We have no hope. And then we hear this voice from outside the ring that says, tap me, choose me, pick me, I'll help you. And that voice is Jesus's. He's always willing to help us when we have a need. But we have to invite him into the ring. We have to invite him into our hearts. And you know what? Once we invite him into our hearts, we are on Jesus's tag team, and he is the leader of our tag team. And what he says to us is when we see other people
who feel hopeless and helpless and overwhelmed, we need to jump in the ring, and we need to help them. He is in our hearts, isn't he? Not in our mouth, but he's in our hearts. You're right. So our goal today is to help other people. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. You are the King of the universe. You are in control of everything, and you see need all around us. And since we are on your tag team, Lord, we ask that we be see the needs of other people and that we are really ready to jump in and help them out. Thank you and amen. And thanks for coming up.
Good morning. On the one hand, I regret the need to share this morning message via recording this morning. But on the other hand, I'm appreciative of the technology available that enables me to share the morning lesson with you while dealing with reactions to two vaccine shots I received on Friday. I took the second dose of the shingles vaccine and my first ever flu vaccine, and I ended up with fever and aches and chills today, so I'm playing it safe and trying to take it easy. The fever and lightheadedness are to go away in 2 to 3 days, I've been told, so hopefully I'll be better by Monday. So I'm at home, taking it easy, recuperating while you are here or connected in for this lesson titled, God Provides, But How? On Thursday morning, as I walked from my truck to the south entrance of the church, I noticed a black squirrel sitting on the roof, the southwest corner of the chapel roof. Now, I've had countless walks from the parking lot into the building, and I have never seen a squirrel up on the roof before. I've seen those squirrels playing around on the ground and climbing the trees, but never have I seen one on the roof. And as I stopped and watched that squirrel climb up the roof, it zigzagged around a little bit and then got all the way to the top and climbed over the top edge to the other side. I found it very interesting that morning that I was watching a black squirrel on the roof for the first time, when probably for the first time ever in my sermon, I'm opening up with an illustration about squirrels and deer. So it was kind of interesting to be thinking about the illustration and watching that squirrel bounce around all over that roof. How often have you sat and watched squirrels? They're seemingly always on the move. They're chasing one another. They're climbing the trees. They're getting those nuts. They're chattering away in the treetops. Squirrels seem always to be moving. The jumpy movements and the chirpy noises of squirrels are starkly contrasted with the stealthy and silent movements of deer. There are other differences between squirrels and deer, central of which is how squirrels store up food for the winter, stashing away those nuts to get them through the long, cold months of winter. Deer, however, they do not store away anything. They go out and browse each and every day, browsing on what grasses, leaves, or even tree roots, tree bark, is available to them. It's been said that squirrels and deer can represent how God cares for us. As with squirrels, God enables us to work and to save for the future. As with deer, God meets our needs when resources are scarce. These two thoughts lead us to the reality of what we learn from Scripture. God gives us seasons of plenty so that we can prepare for seasons of need. That truth is very clearly revealed in the part of the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob and Rachel, who ended up in Egypt due to the treachery of his own brothers. The account of Joseph's life is shared in Genesis chapter 30 all the way through the end, through Genesis 50. But it's the part of his life's journey written in Genesis 41 that is relevant for us this morning. Joseph had been wrongly thrown into prison due to the false accusations of Potiphar's wife. And while in prison, Joseph had the opportunity to interpret the dreams of the Pharaoh's cupbearer and the Pharaoh's baker. 2 years after interpreting those dreams, Pharaoh himself had two dreams, of which none of his magicians or wise men could tell him the meaning of. Eventually, the cupbearer remembered how Joseph had interpreted the dreams of himself and the baker while they were in prison. So Pharaoh sends for Joseph. And we pick it up in verse 17. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. When out of the river, there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. And then, after that, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon." Genesis 41 is a clear demonstration of God providing seasons of plenty so that we can prepare for seasons of need. As I read and reflected on Genesis 41, I was drawn to one particular verse, verse 28. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. While we often might think that all we have is the product of our own hands or own work of our success, God reminds us all, it's about what God is doing, what God is at work at in our lives. The verse of Proverbs 12:11 reminds us of the industry of the squirrel, working and saving up for the winter. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. As you linger on the words and meaning of Proverbs 12:11, it's a word of wisdom that applies truth to more than farming the land. It's applicable to any and all work that people perform. It's a contrast of industry compared to daydreaming. So God provides, but how? Under God's blessing, our own industry enables us to work and save. But there are still the poor, the disadvantaged living in the world. In Matthew 26:11, as Jesus had been anointed at Bethany by the woman pouring the oil over his head, as the disciples complained about the waste of the expensive perfume, Jesus chastised them by telling them what the woman has done was done at the right time. For Jesus says, "The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me." The poor will always be among us. Last Sunday, when Rilly Radabaugh shared about the Christmas Cheer Project, she described the working poor, those who were working, but those whose wage was not sufficient on its own to get by. God provides, but how? God instructs those with plenty to share with those in need. Consider these many verses of Scripture. From Proverbs 19:17, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." Matthew 5:42, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Matthew 25 and the parable of the sheep and the goats. I've talked about that many times over the sermons that I've offered, because that's a key parable for direction in my life of how we are taking care of others. And as we take care of others, we're taking care of Christ. Luke 3, 10 and 11. "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." When we have an abundance, we are called to share. When we have two of something, we can share one with someone else, trusting that God will provide for our future needs. Romans 12, 13, "Share with God's people who are in need." Galatians 6, 2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." It's not just the aspect of material possessions that we are to share, but it's the aspect of carrying one another's burdens. We are to be concerned for one another. We are to be praying for others. We are to be sending those cards and making those calls and those visits, lifting up one another in sharing our burdens. Philippians 2, 4, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And finally, Hebrews 13, 16, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." God has offered a sacrifice to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in his love and in his grace, he calls us to sacrifice of ourselves. In these verses, they highlight the theme of Scripture, is that as we believe in the Lord, as we serve the Lord, we are to care for one another. We are to give to the needy, to the disadvantaged, to the poor. Out of our abundance, God provides through us. We're coming into the seasons of Thanksgiving and Christmas, times to be thankful, times to be generous, as God has provided for us, so we are to provide for others. In a summary thought that I came across, work while you can, save what you can, share what you can, and trust God to meet your needs. Hear that one more time. Work while you can, save what you can, share what you can, and trust God to meet your needs. May your trust in the Lord continue to grow. Amen.
However God has blessed you through your life, now is the opportunity to return some of that blessing to the work of his church. I invite the ushers forward at this time. Please bow your heads for prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you receive this offering that I may bring your love, your joy, and your peace to those who are in need. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 52, O God, our help in ages past. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing verse 1 of number 602, God be with you. From Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, a generous person will prosper. They who refresh others will themselves be refreshed.